praise you, Jesus, because your love is amazing.
Thank you. make it known to the Lord, I'd be honored to take time to pray with you this morning, whether it be spiritual, financial, physical, whatever that need might be. Please come forward and let's pray together. Forgiveness. I want to talk to you on time management. And I want to talk to you on what controls your mind. Interesting. If you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verses 1 and 2. Stand with me for 1 second. Once you get there, I'll let you get there first. Should be up there. They all wait for it to come up there. You notice they don't turn their Bibles where they need to. There it is, see? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. But kind of put your finger right there. Put your finger right there. Hold it and lift your Bibles high. This way I get to see who actually has a Bible. No. Hallelujah. It's very important to bring your Bible to church. Don't have one? Let me know. I will get you a Bible. I promise. That's my honor. This is the living Word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true. From Genesis to Revelations. Today my heart is receptive. My spirit is alive. as I learn to submit my will to His. I am forever changed, a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it, God. So be it. Honor this day, I pray, Lord. In Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Now, if I were really wanting to read this, I would take you through all the way to verse 26. But I think you're going to get the picture when we talk about blessings. How many of you this morning want to receive a blessing from God? I'm looking out. Okay. Well, God says He has a storehouse of blessings just waiting for you. Did you know that? He has a storehouse of blessings that are built up and waiting for you, and all you have to do is to ask and meet the conditions. The ask was easy, but meeting the conditions are a little bit more difficult. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Now, if you go on down there to verse 14, it gives you the blessings. I'm not going to read them to you. Please take that time on your own time to read those blessings. But at the very first blessing, it says, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country." That's a pretty good blessing. Now, if you take that in consideration and go straight on down, this talks about God's blessings upon us. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's the Old Testament." Yes. Is it any different in the New? Is it any different in the New?
No.
Thank you. I was wondering if you guys were listening. So, the blessings are for everyone, old and new. And you're able to receive those blessings conditionally, old and new. But let me take you down to verse 15. And verse 15 is another verse in the Bible that tells you what happens if you don't follow God. "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will be upon you and will overtake you." Whoa. I'll read just one curse. "Cursed shall be your basket and your knitting bow. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the production of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock." Do you guys kind of get the picture here, what's going on? God promises us blessings, right? But He also says there are curses involved in that if you don't follow the prerequisite. Did you know in the Bible, 1,522 times in the Bible, the word "if" is put there? So that word "if" must mean something. Do you think so? For God to put it there, "If you'll do this, then I'll do that," must mean that He lays conditions on all of His prerequisites to bless or to do anything for you. He lays conditions. Now, Lord, bless us, I pray, in Your mighty name. Bless this time, bless this service, bless this message. But let me take you to the next verse. And the next verse lays another "if and then." If and then. And it says here, And if you'll turn with me, the Second Chronicles, this is another verse that you should underline, underscore, highlight, do whatever it takes. Second Chronicles 7:14. Second. Okay, I'll wait until you guys get there. Hey, it's already up on the screen. I want to take you through this just a little at a time to help you to understand. First of all, it says, the very first word, it says, if my people, okay, let's figure that out right now. My people. Was he talking about the world at that time? Was he talking about the sinners of that day? He was talking about my people. Now, my people in that day was the Israel nation. My people today are adopted race into the kingdom of God, his chosen people. You are chosen by God. You are his people. And don't let any devil from hell try to take that away from you. Amen? Because you are his people. So this scripture is talking about who? Point to yourself. Me. This scripture is talking about you. I have to get that into you the very first thing, because I can't take you to the rest of the scripture until you get that first part. God is not talking about sinners. God is not talking about the world. God is talking about me. Now let me go on. If my people who are called by my name, are you called by the Lord's name? Shall I start the scripture over? Are you called by the Lord's name? Thank you. Well, now we've got the greatest understanding here, because you got to get this before we go any farther. First of all, you're his people. Second of all, you're called by the Lord's name, right? Now let me take you to the rest. This might not be so fun. But it says, if you're God's people, you're called by his name, you have to, what? Humble themselves. Pray. Pray. Last week I talked about desperate prayer. That we need to get desperate before the Lord. We don't need any puny prayers. We need prayers that mean something. Prayers that's going to touch the heart of God. Prayers that's going to hit him right there and say, God, I hold you to your promise. I'm praying this way. I'm desperate for you. That's prayer. In our day and age today, we have puny prayers. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless my home. Bless my family. Don't let anything come against me. Now, there's nothing wrong with those prayers. But I think if you really want to get a hold of God and get his attention, Lord, I need you now. I don't need you next week. I don't need you a year from now. I need you now, Lord. Come down. Hear I plea, O God. So it says, first of all, we have a lot of Christians today that are proud-hearted. Christians, first of all, I got to tell you, I'm not talking about the sinners. I'm not talking about the world. This scripture is not talking about the world. This scripture is talking about you, a born-again believer. We need, as Christians, to humble ourselves. We need, as Christians, to desperately and earnestly pray. And I like this word, seek and crave. We need to crave, hallelujah, and require the necessity to see the face of Jesus, hallelujah. Now, have I stopped talking about Christians? Listen to the next phrase. And turn from their wicked ways. Who are we talking about? Who are we talking about? Christians can have wicked ways. I beg to differ with you. Just because you're born again and you love the Lord and the love is in your heart doesn't say that you can't have carnality in you. And you cannot do things that are displeasing before God, because you can. You can. That's why he put that there. That's why he put that there. For all of us to humble, to pray, to seek, to crave, to see God's face, and to turn from our wicked ways, our ways that are displeasing to God, our ways that are displeasing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you follow suit to that first part of that verse, remember, there's always an if and a then. I love the next part. See, I didn't want to leave you all discouraged. And God doesn't like to leave you discouraged. So he puts the then in there. He puts the if to help you. He's helping you to figure out, what can I do? Then he says, okay, now if you do all this, here's what's going to happen. Ooh, I love this. Hallelujah. Then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sins. Then I will heal their land. Do you get that? Now that's a hallelujah chorus right there. I could say amen, Lord, thank you, and we all go home. But there's more to my message. Let me take you on down the story of the storehouse blessing that God has for us. We must learn how to unlock and how to receive what God has in store for you and I. Did you know that? You have to learn to do that. And it's a learning process. When you're born again and you've given your heart to the Lord, guess what? You're just a baby in the Lord. Just like that little baby back there that just loves to walk around. It's a teaching, that little baby over there, okay? What are you doing to that baby? You're nurturing that baby. You're taking care of that baby. That's exactly what God does to babes in Christ. When you're a baby in Christ, he takes care. He nurtures you. He leads you down that road. He helps you down that road. Hallelujah. He blesses you even when sometimes you don't deserve a blessing. But when you get older, if you kept feeding that baby milk and never gave that baby any meat, that baby would never grow up with any strength in it. It needs to grow. You need to grow. So that's where the meat of the word comes in. That's where the growth comes in. And all of a sudden, the blessings kind of go a little bit farther away. It's a little bit harder to see them. And you begin to wonder, well, where is God? See, that's the carnality starting to creep up inside you. Does it happen to everyone? All Christians. I'm sorry to say that. You know, but it's the truth. And don't let it get just discouraged or down. Because this morning, we're going to talk over four principles that we must look at that will unlock the storehouse of God's blessings. Are you ready? Number one. And why it's number one? Because I believe it's one of the most important ones. Number one in learning how to unlock the storehouse of God's blessings is commitment. Commitment. Commitment to God. Commitment to him no matter what you are going through. Now, it's easy to be committed to God when you're on the mountaintop. Amen? It's easy. Hallelujah. Boy, you're praising God. You're worshiping God. You're on that mountaintop and everything's looking good. And then God says, get off this mountain for now. Oh, but God, I'm having such a wonderful time. But it's time to go. And eventually, you go down that mountain, and you're in the lowest valley, and everything looks dreadful. Everything looks horrible. You just wonder, where are you, God? I can't see you. I can't feel you. I can't hear you. You've left me, God. No, he hasn't. He's just teaching you to grow. Commitment. 1 Peter 4:19 says, therefore those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with God's will must do right and commit their souls in charge as a deposit to the one who created them and who will never, never, never fail them. Do you like that one? We will have valley experiences. Amen? The three Hebrew children. Was their experience at that point in time a valley experience? The three Hebrew children? When Nebuchadnezzar says, you bow before me or you're going to get burned. And they said, I don't care if we get burned, we will not bow before you. That was a valley experience. They looked and physically knew where they were headed. And they not only knew where they were headed, but Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to heat that furnace 7 times hotter. And the reason why, because he wanted to make sure they burned. And it got so hot, it burned one of the soldiers that was putting the wood in. That's how hot it was, and the soldier wasn't even in the fire. They had a valley experience. They could have said, Lord, you'll forgive me, but I have to do this just this one time. And it's okay, Lord, because I know that you're a forgiving God and that you'll forgive me. No! Don't! And they would not give in. And you know the outcome. They were cast in 3 into the furnace. And all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar saw a 4th one. Says, where'd that guy come from? And not only a guy, but he looks like, you know, the Son of God. He's something different. Supernaturally, Jesus was put into that fire, his furnace with him. And you want to know what turned from the valley to the mountain? When they came out of that, yes! When they came out of that valley experience and they came out of that furnace, it says not even a hair on their head was singed. They're not even the smell of smoke was on their body. And Nebuchadnezzar said, this is truly a miracle from your God, and we will honor your God. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Hallelujah. That's a valley experience that God turned it around to a mountain-type experience that turned around and became a ministry to others. Daniel in the lion's den, valley experience. And I could give you time after, you know, Paul and Silas in the jail. I can give you experience after experience of valley experiences. And I can tell you one of my worst valley experiences is when I owned a company. I was 1/3 owner in a company. Thought I had it made. Company was 3rd in the whole nation of production paint shop. I got called into the office by my other 2 partners. And I'd already made the decision to go to Bible school. I had the time. Shop was doing good. I had the time to go to college. So I enrolled in college. This devil. Devil, you're a liar. Okay? The devil decided he was going to try to really tear me down and tear my whole family down. The devil turned around, brought me into that meeting, and they said, we don't need you anymore. Wait a minute. I'm 1/3 owner. You can't do that. I'm the CEO. Well, yeah, now you're the CEO out. I was ousted out of a company that I had 1/3 ownership in. Was I ill-treated? Okay. So I said, okay, Lord, that's a sure trial of my faith, but I'm going to go on, Lord. We had a couple of other small businesses that we were doing. Within 2 months, those 2 businesses went under. That was a valley experience. I was in such a valley time that Sharon and I was in our house. Wee, wee, me, me, my, whoa, whoa. And I thank God for some Christian loving brothers and sisters that came to our house and told us, get it together. You know, we're praying for you. Get it together. Get back to church. You know, I was leadership in the church and everything, and I wouldn't even go to church. I was down. Sometimes it takes other Christians to come to your behalf and tell you, you know, you just need a pat on the back. You just need to know it'll be okay. Was it okay? Understand, I went from making a lot of money to making no money. Nothing. I owned a big house, big debts, and a big motorhome. All this. And did I have it? No. But did I go back to church? Yes. Did I ask, Lord, forgive me? I had to. I was in the valley and I was about ready to give up. Does that happen to you? It can. It might. And it will. But it all depends on what you do. Remember, I'm talking about commitment to God right here. I haven't got past anything but the commitment yet. Because if you don't have the commitment to God, you might as well give up now. Because that commitment's all you had to stand before this world that's going to come at you with every fiery dart that it possibly can. And if you can't stand, you will fall. Hallelujah. So at that lowest point, God brought us out. I thought we were going to have to quit Bible school. Sharon and I both enrolled. You know, that takes money. But the good Lord saw us through. We made it through college. We made it through, kept our house payment up. Everything was done. Why? Why? Commitment. Thank you. Commitment. Will I tell you it was hard? Will I tell you I almost gave up? Definitely. But luckily, I had some good... Understand, there's sometimes that you might know someone going through something. Now, you have the ability, as a born-again believer, you know, and the unction of the Holy Spirit, to be able to go to those people, whoever is hurting in that magnitude, and pray with them. You can do that. We had prayer warriors that came to our house, and that turned it for us. And it can happen to every one of us, every one of you. Valley experiences. God says, maintain it. Maintain it. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18 says, therefore, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions. You might not think that when you're going through it, but understand, you're going to do it. Which is but for a moment, and it usually is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which we are seeing, but for the at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you understand that? See, Paul was trying to, and not just trying, but was instructing the Corinthian church at that time, you can't look at what you're going through, because you're going to go through problems. You're going to go through. But understand, they're just very temporal, fleeting moments of sorrow and pain. Your afflictions are minor. Now, Paul was a good example of minor afflictions. If you look at what Paul's life went, twice he was beaten by a rod 40 times and left for dead. I could go on, but I'm not. But that's just one thing. When the finalization of Paul's life, he was buried crucified upside down. Oh, he was beheaded. Oh, that's a head of experience. But do you understand? He counted all these inflictions light compared to eternity. His eternal glory in heaven. But I will tell you this, the most important thing to maintain your commitment to God, the most important thing is keep your commitment there and do not stay in the valley. If you stay in that valley long enough, it can spiritually kill you. Get out of that valley. Do whatever it takes. Get those prayer warriors praying for you. If you're going through something, call on the church. Let them know. You don't have to be elaborate and tell them what you're going through, but tell them, I need prayer. I really am going through something right now, and I need your prayer. That's all we need to know. And I'll tell you, when you tell that, it'll hit the prayer chain, and bombardment of prayer will go out for you. Because that's what the church is for, is to pray. Number two. I just got through one. Number two. Not only are we to maintain our commitment to God, but we are to manifest forgiveness. I need to say that one again. Because there's a lot of Christians out there that are unforgiving. They have an unforgiving spirit. Manifest forgiveness so that you will be forgiven. Mark 11:25-26 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father, who is in heaven, may also forgive you your own faults and shortcomings and let them go. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings and your shortcomings. Do you understand that? That's pretty scriptural. By the way, I didn't say it. God said it. So I guess if he said it, it must be true. Amen? Bible is telling you and instructing you and I that we need to learn to forgive. We ask for God's forgiveness, don't we? We call upon the Lord, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my faults, my failures, my wrongdoings. But then we turn around, we can't forgive our neighbor. You can't even forgive your enemy. You can't forgive your loved ones. Someone that's ill-treated you. I'm mad at them. They said some bad words. Boy, that pastor really got on my toes. He not only got on my toes, he got on my head. I didn't like that. Forgiveness. No matter what. We're all people. Amen? We're all people. People make mistakes. People say wrong things. Christians, none of you guys say anything wrong. You got the most holy halo around your head. They can't see the two little horns in the back. But anyway, got to understand what God is telling us. All of us. Me too. Me too. I got to learn to forgive. You know, and not hold grudges. Let me give you something. There was a pastor that finished his message early one Sunday. Won't happen this Sunday. And he wanted to check his congregation's understanding. So he asked, can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin? There was a short pause. Then from the very back row, a boy stood up and spoke, you have to sin. I suspect we don't have a problem fulfilling that prerequisite, but Jesus reveals that another prerequisite for God to forgive is our willingness to forgive others. So now we have commitment to God. We have learning to forgive. The third one on this list is called learning to manage your time and spend more time with God. And that, I believe, every Christian, including this one, has problems with. Have you ever heard that saying, there's not enough time in the day? Huh? There's not enough time in the day. Well, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to live and a time to die, and it goes on and on and on and on down there. But the big thing that I'm trying to put there, to every there is a season to everything. There is a time to work, but then there is also time to take time for God. We need to learn to have time management. If you've ever been in business, you understand as part of being in a business or being a manager or something, you have to learn to manage time for your workers, right? You definitely don't want your workers just to sit out there and read a magazine. You don't want your workers out there to sit around and loaf off and talk with one another the whole time. What you want is for them to learn to manage their time while they're at work correctly. Time management. There are 60 minutes in an hour, 144 minutes in a day, 10,080 minutes in a week, 168 hours in a week. If we can learn to plan our time and make sure that Jesus is part of our planning, then there's blessings in store for you. There was this churchgoer who wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. "I've gone for 30 years now," he wrote, "and in that time, I've heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting theirs by giving sermons at all." This started a real controversy in the letters to the editor column, which, to the delight of the editor, he thought that was great. It went on for several weeks until someone wrote this clincher: "I've been married." Now, don't get me wrong now. This one's good. "I've been married for 30 years now. And in that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall an entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this: they will, and they all, nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to go to work. If my wife had not given these meals to me, I would be physically dead today. And likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today." Do you follow that? No matter if you don't get every message — I do hope you do, please, please, please — but if you don't, the most important thing that you need to do is, when you walk through those doors, that you bring the Lord with you, and we have a celebration service. Every service should be a celebration of our Lord. Celebration of your life with the Lord. Celebrate the Lord. Every service. Now, if you pick up on this message or whatever, that's just a plus. But even if you didn't, your nourishment comes from being in the house of God and feeling His presence. You hear it here, you feel it here, and you're going to go out in that evil world. And when you go out in that evil world, what you get here, you take with you there. And it'll help you there. That nourishment you received here will help you out there. Amen? Somebody help me out here. Lastly, which is another very important one that I believe all of us as Christians — now understand, I am not talking to the sinner today. I'm talking to the born-again believer. I'm talking to the Christian. I'm talking to you because you need to know these things. You said this earlier, you want a blessing. Well, I'm telling you, here's how you're going to get that blessing from the Lord. The last one: monitor your mind. What goes in will come out. I think I ought to say that one again. If you monitor your mind correctly, you'll take in what's good and good things for you. But if you don't monitor your mind, what goes in will come out. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be so deceived and misled." Now, this is in the Word of God. This is not Jerry's interpretation. Hopefully, find it. I'll give you a chance. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Get it in your Bible. That's a good one to mark, because it'll help you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. 33. See? Thank you. Oh, it's up there. "Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, and associations corrupt and deprive good manners and morals and character." Did you hear that? Now go with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. verses 8 through 9. I am putting a bunch of scriptures out this morning because I believe in the Word of God. I believe the Word of God gives us the strength to go on. I believe the Word of God gives us wisdom where the world will not give you wisdom. Okay? The world can only give you the intellect. God gives you the wisdom. Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, the untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. Did you pick up on that? Think on good things. You know what? And I say this in my work all the time, because we deal with a lot of people that are struggling with a lot of different things. And I tell you, how many of you want to be around a negative person? I guarantee you, I receive no hands. I said, so that means that you all want to be around positive people, right? So here you have a dad or a mom or a relative that's dying. They have a terminal illness. Do they want to hear you over there moping and groping and saying how horrible this disease? No. They want to hear, as long as they can, the positive things coming from your mouth. The positive things. You to uplift that person in all that you can. And that's what your Christianity does for you when you're meeting a non-saved person. They don't want to hear the negative things. You know what they want to hear? The good things. They want to hear how good God is. God is a good God, but God is also a righteous God. Now that's for you and I as Christians to understand. But when you're out in the world, they want to hear the good things. They want to hear the grace. They want to hear the love. They want to hear all these good things. You know, they want to hear those things. That's positive. And I think that's exactly what this scripture is trying to say. What we have to do is we have to learn to think on these things. Because when you start to think on the negative things, it tears you down. Amen? It just tears you down. And I'll tell you, once you've gotten that pity pit, it's hard to get out of it. Right? Then all of a sudden, you want the pity pit for everybody. So you're trying to give it to everybody else. And then you're leading it around. And the pity pit goes around. And all of a sudden, everybody around you is leaving you. Because they don't want to be around a pity pit. Amen? Amen? So, D.L. Moody said this: I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are filled with pride, conceit, ambition, and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. So, here are the principles. Do you want a blessing? Again, let me ask that now. After I've given you all this thing, how many of you truly want a blessing from the Lord? Excellent. Excellent. I knew I'd get you. With that in understanding, his storehouse of blessings are for you if you maintain your commitment to God no matter what. If you manifest forgiveness to others so that you will be forgiven. If you learn to manage your time and spend more time with God. If you learn to monitor your mind and what goes into your mind, because what goes into your mind will come out. Hallelujah. If we want God's storehouse blessings, We must learn to follow his conditions, and I will guarantee you this morning, blessings will come. Bow your heads. And there's another little saying. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. When you learn to praise your Heavenly Father from the depths of your heart, when that praise goes up, God honors that praise with blessing, and he pours his blessings upon you. I pray this week that that blessings that we've talked about, that you'll seek those blessings of God, because he has them for you. Next week is Easter Sunday. I challenge everyone in this building today. I challenge you to invite others for next week's service, Easter service. It is going to be a tremendous service for God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I only have one question this morning. And I know some of you have raised your hand. The storehouse blessings for the Lord are from the Lord, and they're for the Christian. So I have to ask a very direct question. To want those blessings, you must know the Lord. You know your heart more than I know your heart. And I ask this question this morning. If the Lord came to you right now and says, I want to bless you, my brother, my sister, I want to bless you. All I ask for you to do is give me your life. Give me your life. Would you be able to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of this wretched life I live, and fill it with your life. If that is you this morning and you'd like to say, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that. I want to pray with you this morning right now. Anyone? Anyone here? Sing that, Sharon.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Anyone?
Alleluia.
So I ask you this. This week, take that into consideration.
Hallelujah.
Take that ability to say, Lord, I want to be blessed. I need your blessings. I need, Lord, a closer walk with you. I need more commitment to you, Lord God. I need more forgiveness in my heart, Lord God. I need time management, Lord God, to spend more time with you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I need these things, oh God, and I need my mind to be emptied of all the impure thoughts and things, oh God, and be filled with all the good things that you have. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, so that I can receive the blessings that you have in store for me. And if that is you, raise your hands. Because I'll raise mine. I'll raise both. Because that's what I want, Lord. I want to be committed to you, Lord. I want to be having a forgiveness heart, oh God, and to forgive others, oh Lord. Lord, I want time management, Lord God. And I need that. I need time management, oh God. I need more hours in the day. I need more time, oh God. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to put more time for you, oh God, and keep my mind set on you. Keep my mind set on you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sing it one more. Sing it, Sharon. Let's stand. Let's sing that together. Very simple song.
Hallelujah. You just have to sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
that means praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Sharon closes a prayer this morning.
Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, we just come to you today, dear God. Lord, you just see our hearts, Lord, because no one knows you like you do. No one knows us like you do, dear God. And Lord, I pray that every heart would be touched by your presence, by your spirit, Lord. We just pray that this week, Lord, that we could be able to glorify you in everything we say or do, God, because we don't know who's watching us, Lord. So we got to pray and seek your face and humble ourselves, dear God. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would rest upon us this week, Lord, as we go our ways, Lord. Never leave us. Never forsake us, Lord. And Lord, when we're feeling down, Lord, you pick us up and take us through every valley, Lord. Through the valley we learn about you, Lord. It's not on the mountain, but it's through the valley that we grow in you, dear God. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.